Okay, so who's voting for the Broncos this afternoon? Some Bronco fans? Okay, oh, quite a few. All right. Want to see Peyton Manning get that one last Super Bowl, right? Okay. Yeah, yeah. How about Carolina? Panther fans? Oh, a few, yeah. Oh, even some applause from Panther fans, huh? Yeah. How many of you are sort of like me and don't really care about the game? You just want some good food and drink and watch those interesting commercials, right? Yeah, that's, yeah. It's $5 million for a 30-second commercial during today's game. Can you imagine that? I hope the commercials are good, huh? Yeah. Okay, enough about football. This morning, as we said, we're celebrating the Transfiguration. But 50 years ago today, Vernon Dahmer received in the mail his voter registration card. And you may think that that's no big deal, but for an African-American man living in Mississippi back in 1966, it was a big deal. You see, unfortunately, though, Vernon Dahmer wasn't alive to receive in the mail that voter registration card. He had passed away a few weeks earlier. The KKK had come to his house and began shooting at his house and filled his house with smoke bombs. And as he was in the front of the house protecting his family and his house, and his family was able to slip out the back door, later that night, he died of massive smoke inhalation. He never got to see the fruition of his work. See, what he had done was he tried to get equal rights for voters, for African Americans, what the whites had as well. But unfortunately, he never got to see the result of all that hard work that he did. Many other people benefited heavily from his work that he did, but Vernon Dahmer didn't see the results, the fruition of his work. It's sort of sad, isn't it? And it seems like it's a little bit unfair. Well, this morning, as we read in Deuteronomy chapter 34, we see the fact that Moses dies and the Lord does not allow him to go into the promised land. And we think, wow, that seems a little bit unfair as well. Moses, the guy, remember, he took the Israelites from captivity in Egypt, led them through the Red Sea after all those plagues and the Passover, led them through the Red Sea, and then in the wilderness for those 40 years, as the Israelites whined and complained, Moses put up with it. But then, as they're about ready to go into the promised land, God says no to Moses. You're not going to enter the promised land. It seems a little bit unfair, God not allowing him to enter into that promised land. You see, back in Numbers chapter 20, we're told that Moses committed a small minor sin, I guess we could call it. God told him to talk to a rock to get some water out, but Moses, after hearing the complaining and the whining of the people, actually struck the rock a couple of times. And that sin then, the consequence of that sin was, God says, no, Moses, you're not going to enter into the promised land. He was forbidden from entering on foot. Now, he was given a vision. He was able to see what the promised land was like in a vision. God did allow that for him, but not to physically enter into the promised land. And I don't know about you, but to me, that seems a little bit harsh. Seems a little bit unfair on God's part not to allow him to enter that promised land. I mean, come on, God, he put up with those Israelites, your people, for 40 years as they whined and complained and cried about all the terrible things that were happening to them out in the wilderness, how they didn't have this and they didn't have that. Seems a bit unfair. Well, do you ever feel like God is unfair to you? I mean, here you are, you're a good Christian person. You come to church, you worship the Lord, and you try and live a good life. You try and live a Christian life, and you do the best you can, but boy, the difficulties come. And there's heartache, and there's tough times coming about in your life. And then, it makes it even worse, you look over at that neighbor. You know, you see Joe down the road there who is not a Christian, but yet things seem to be coming his way. He seems to be blessed. He seems to have all the things necessary to have a happy life here. He never seems to have any difficulties in life. And you look at your own life and you think, wow, it's a little bit unfair. God, you're not being really fair with me. Well, if we look at it, was God really being unfair to Moses? Is there such a thing as a minor little sin? I think not, right? If we think about it, it's really the question is how much sin is too much? And Moses here has, he was told by God to talk to the rock, and he struck it. He blatantly disobeyed God. Not necessarily a little minor sin, but yet, even if it was, is there such a thing as a little minor sin? And the answer is no, there's not. James chapter 2, verse 10 puts it this way. It says that if we break one iota, one little dot of the law, if we break just one little thing of the law, we're guilty of breaking the whole law. It's the same as if we've broken every law, every rule. And so there is no such thing as just a minor little sin. And so Moses, you and me, we're guilty of breaking the whole law. And let's face it, God could be justified, certainly, in calling down any consequence, any punishment he wants upon us as well. God is justified in calling out any punishment to you and to me as well. We deserve it. We deserve not to enter the promised land. We deserve, like Moses, to be left out of the promised land. In fact, God is certainly justified in calling out any consequence, any punishment upon us because we are guilty of breaking the whole law. Well, we know that we're not going to spend eternity outside of the promised land. We know that we have life everlasting. We have forever with our Lord in heaven. So the reality is, though, that we don't deserve it, but we try and trivialize our sins, don't we? We try and make them seem really small and like everybody else is doing them. For example, you know, well, that little white lie we told, well, you know what, I just didn't want to hurt that person's feeling. And so we trivialize that little lie to make it sound like it's really okay. Or, I just changed a few of the numbers on the income tax return because it's going to be so much more advantageous for me to make this number rather than that number. And, you know, after all, the government has all the money they need anyway. You know, it doesn't hurt. Everybody else is doing it, so why can't I do it as well? Everybody else sort of fudges on their numbers, so I might as well be able to do it as well. But the fact is that we try and trivialize, we try and minimize those sins, don't we? Well, for Moses, the consequence was that he was not able to enter the promised land. And certainly we should have that consequence as well. We should not be able to enter the promised land of heaven. We should not be able to set foot in the glorious presence of the Almighty forever and ever. Our consequence should be the same as Moses in the fact that we are not going to be in the presence of the Lord there because we have sinned and we don't deserve to be living with him forever. But the fact is that God gives it to us as a gift. And Moses is a sinner. You and I are a sinner. And we don't deserve to go to the promised land, but we know that we have the promised land as a gift from the Lord. Heaven is there waiting for us. And this morning, as I said, we celebrate Transfiguration Sunday. As Jesus is transfigured there, he takes three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, they go up that mountain, and Jesus, his face becomes dazzling white, his clothes becomes as white as flash of lightning, and Peter and James and John wake up from their sleep, and they see God, they see Jesus in all his glorious splendor there, and he's talking with Elijah and Moses. You see, Jesus is not alone there on the mountain. There on top of the mountain in all his glory, in all his splendor, is the great prophet Elijah and this sinner, this guy who was not able to enter the promised land. There is Moses himself. Moses in the presence of Jesus. God did not turn his back on Moses. God says, you're forgiven, Moses. God says to Moses, come, be in my glory, be in my presence. And there he is in the presence of Jesus himself. Moses, the sinner, forgiven by God. Forgiven, and now he's truly in the glory and the splendor of our Savior, Jesus. Even though all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and Moses is certainly in that category. And you know what, folks? You and I are in that category of sinner as well. But the same result that Moses got is the same result for us. We get the gift. We get to go and spend eternity in the glory, in the presence of God himself, because heaven is waiting for you. Heaven is there. We have everlasting life with Jesus Christ. And even though we sin, we get to go to the presence of God. We get to live forever with him in glory. We get to spend eternity with him in heaven. And yes, we're sinners, and we continue to sin on a daily basis as Moses sinned on a daily basis. We all sin on a daily basis, but the gift of God is salvation for all who trust in him. And we have that faith in Jesus Christ. And so heaven is waiting for you. You have been transformed. You know where you're going to spend your eternity. As one who has been changed from an enemy of God, spiritually dead, to now awake, to now having new life breathed into by God himself, we have new life in Christ, and we know that we're going to spend eternity with our Savior in heaven because you've been transformed. You have been changed. I have been changed. Moses was changed. He was brought to the presence of Christ. And you and I can look forward to an eternity of spending with our Lord in heaven. But you know what the good things about being a Christian is? One of the great things about being a Christian is that our transformed life begins now. We have Jesus Christ, we have our Lord and Savior through his Holy Spirit living with us now. Our transformed life of forgiveness and life everlasting has begun for each and every one of us. Because we are his children. We are a child of God, transformed from being an enemy of God into being his child. And so now we know that, yes, we'll inherit everlasting life, but that's to come. Hopefully in 10 or 20 or 30 or 50 years from now after we pass. But our heaven begins now. As a life, as a Christian, as a child of God, our life, our transformed life of forgiveness, life and salvation with the Lord begins today, begins with our faith and our trust in the Lord, as he has promised to always be with us. And now that we have that gift of forgiveness, now that we have that gift of compassion and mercy from our God, he wants us to show that love and that mercy and that compassion to one another. As children of God, we are to overflow with that love and mercy as we show it to each and every one of us who we come in contact with throughout the week. Certainly Ellie Dahmer, the widowed wife of Vernon Dahmer, knew about living the transformed life. You see, in 1998, 32 years after her husband was killed by the KKK, Billy Roy Pitts, one of their attackers, came to her and asked for forgiveness. And Ellie was there with her children and her grandchildren, and they, who had been without their loved one for 32 years, her kids who had not known their father because he died at such a young age, the grandkids who had not known their grandfather as he had been killed 32 years ago, they all in unison, as Billy Roy Pitts asked for forgiveness, they all in unison said, yes, we forgive you, and God forgives you as well. That's living the transformed life. Living the life through the Spirit of Christ who lives in us, we then show that love and that forgiveness and that compassion to one another. And through His Holy Spirit, we can. We as children of God who have been transformed, we as children of God who know where our eternity rests, we can live today with that forgiveness and that love for one another. May God help us during this next week as we live for Him, as we live as transformed people of God, we live for Him and show that love and compassion to one another. Amen. Will you please rise as we pray together? Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, we have been transformed. We have been changed. We have been changed from being dead in our trespasses, dead in our sins, to being alive with You. You have brought us back to life, spiritually speaking, Lord. And now, help us, Lord, to live our lives according to Your will. Help us to give You the praise and glory as we give that love and forgiveness to one another. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen.